Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Sunday Gathering, a time to connect with Creator through prayer and reflection. Each week, members of the Community Catholic Church clergy gather to worship, and we invite you to join us. We are an inclusive and progressive denomination in the Anglican Roman Catholic tradition, and you can join in by clicking on the links that you see on the show page below. And now, let's celebrate our wonderful connection with Creator and prepare our hearts for worship. Welcome to the service on the Sports Sunday after Pentecost. Today we have joining and participating in our service Dean Sam, the Reverend Denise, the Reverend Chris, the Reverend Janet, and we begin with the gathering of the community. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Almighty God,
to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us now confess our sins against God and our neighbor.
Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. We ask for your forgiveness and your unlimited mercy to embrace us and restore us with your grace. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ,
may the God of love and power forgive and free you from your sins, heal and strengthen you by the Holy Spirit, and raise you to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. The Collect for the fourth Sunday after Pentecost. Almighty God, you have taught us through your Son that love fulfills the law. May we love you with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength. And may we love our neighbor as ourselves. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Genesis. After these things, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham," and he said, "Here I am." And God said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I shall show you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. He cut the wood for the burnt offering and set out and went to the place in the distance that God had shown him. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place far away. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. The boy and I shall go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. Isaac said to his father, Abraham, "Father," and he said, "Here I am, son." He said, "The fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." So the two of them walked on together. When they came to the place that God had shown him, Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on top of the altar, on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took his knife to kill his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay a hand on the boy or do anything to him, For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day long? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider me and answer me, O Lord, my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death. And my enemy will say, I have prevailed. My foes will rejoice because I am shaken. But I trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me.
A reading from Romans, beginning at the 12th verse. Therefore, do not let sin exercise dominion in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. No longer present your members to sin as instruments of wickedness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and present your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Should we sin because we are not under grace? By no means. Do you know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you, having once been slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the form of teachings to which you were entrusted. And that you, having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and greater iniquity, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness for sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. So what advantage did you then get from the things of which you now are ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been freed from sin and enslaved to God, the advantage you get is sanctification. The end is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the way of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous man in the name of the righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. This is the gospel of Christ.
Praise be to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Today we hear the story of Abraham and Isaac, a very familiar Bible story. Today's Old Testament lesson gives us the first 14 verses of the story in which we see God testing Abraham. After he and Sarah had waited all their lives without having a child together, God finally heard their prayers and gave Sarah a child. She gave birth to Isaac. In the story, God tests Abraham by asking him to sacrifice his beloved son. You can imagine Abraham's horror at being asked to give up the one thing he'd longed so many years to have, that young boy. However, being a man of faith and obedient to God, Abraham leads Isaac to the mountain to do as God had commanded him to do. I suspect Abraham obeyed God with resignation at best. He wasn't alone in this. Moses would later give God quite a few good reasons why he was the wrong choice to go to Pharaoh. And Simon Peter, when he saw the great catch of fish, confessed his sinfulness and urged Jesus to leave. You'll remember that Mary, the mother of Jesus, initially objected to the news that she was to give birth to a son. One might think that receiving a call from God to do something would be an occasion of joy and an instant acquiescence. But no. When God calls us to do something, we tend not to jump to our feet to obey immediately. When we do comply, it's not usually a joyful, wholehearted yes to God. More often, our yes is more like that of a lazy teen. What now? Are you sure? Do I have to? Can't somebody else do it? It's a reluctant type of obedience, and one which I've offered to God more frequently than I like to admit. Maybe you have felt the same way when faced with the requirement of Christianity or the commands of God. Why are we so reluctant? It isn't as though God is asking us to sacrifice our children or loved ones on a stone altar, as he requested of Abraham. God doesn't ask us to retreat from the world and live in a dark and dirty cave. We're not commanded to mortify our bodies with whips or to refuse pain relief when we're ill. According to Jesus, God asks us to love God, our neighbors, and ourselves. He asks us to care for those in need, to love, and especially to forgive each other. I've been in clubs at school that place greater demands on members than Almighty God has placed on us. But we balk, and if we obey, how often do we do so, hanging our heads and dragging our feet and sighing and groaning all the way? Abraham probably did too. Climbing up that mountain, I suspect he was feeling pretty low, moving slower and slower as he got to the place. But climb he did, and he built that altar, and he bound his son, and he prepared to sacrifice him to the Lord. That's pretty major obedience, not just to give up your child to God, but to see your child killed by your own hand. And at that 11th hour, just in the nick of time, the angel stopped him, and God commanded him not to harm the child, as he had proved his faithfulness. That's where today's passage ends, with Abraham sacrificing a ram in place of his son. But it isn't the end of the story. The angel called Abraham again, bringing the word of the Lord, telling him that because of his obedience, he was to be blessed greatly. Abraham, longing for a child for all of his life, was promised not to have just one, but many offspring, as numerous as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And there was more. Abraham's offspring would be victorious over their enemies. And if that wasn't enough blessing, God added a final, magnificent blessing. Through the offspring of Abraham, the nations of the world would gain blessing. I suspect the way down the mountain was a lot faster than the way up had been. Joy has that effect on us. And Abraham must have been joyful indeed after not only having his son restored to him, but having such a wonderful blessing promised to him, all because Abraham obeyed God. Now, obeying God is not always easy. When we're angry or bitter, it's hard to forgive and praise God. When we're fearful or worried, when we don't know where the money or the resources we need will come from, or if they'll arrive at all, it's hard to trust God and help others. And it's hard to feel the joy of the Lord when we're sad or ill or in pain. When we are in such circumstances, there's only one way to handle the matter. We have to be like Abraham. Bring what we don't want to give up and place it on the altar. All that anger, those fears, our unhappiness, we have to give it to God. Well, that's not a very good offering, you might think, but you'd be wrong. It's the best offering because it comes not from our gladness, but our pain. It's the truest sign of faith and obedience that we turn to God when we have so many reasons to turn away. It's when we're in the depths of our reluctance and rebellion. that God seems to be farthest away. It's when we feel God's love least. Feeling so, why would we turn to God except that it's asked of us? That we are asked to cast our burdens on God, as the psalmist says. When we turn to Him, despite our feelings of unwillingness and being so little loved, it's an act of deep obedience and trust. Abraham obeyed, sadly and reluctantly, and he was blessed. And it's that way for us too. When we follow God, when we obey God, we are blessed. So what's God asking of you today? Perhaps it's the words of Micah 6:8 that come to mind. To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Perhaps it's the words of Christ to the Pharisee. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Perhaps it's the words of the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us as we forgive. God does not ask us to sacrifice our children, but our very selves. He asks us to examine our worldly selves, the part of us that loves comfort and complacence and condemnation, the part that turns from others in need and loves our coins more than compassion. He asks us to blindfold our eyes that turn from the suffering of others, to bind our hands that fail to reach out in love, to tie our feet that run away from the need we can ease. He asks us to lay that self onto the altar and sacrifice it to Him. And if we do, we will rise up from the altar a new creature in Christ, our faith renewed, our love strengthened, our blessing assured. Like Abraham, we will speed down the mountainside, our hearts singing praise to our God, who sustains us and blesses us every moment of our lives. I won't say it's easy, because it's not. And I can't tell you that you'll only have to make that one trip up the mountain, because I continually find that worldly, selfish part of me asserting itself and sending me up the mountain again and again. But I will say this. Every trip up the mountain is a little easier than the one before, and every trip down is more joyful than the last. The more we give up our unloving, untrusting, unhappy parts of ourself to God, the more we are blessed with all the love and peace and true happiness we could ever hope to receive. Thanks be to God. Amen.
As we stand in God's presence, let us pray to the Lord, saying, Lord, have mercy. For the whole people of God, that each one of us may be a true and faithful servant of Christ, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those drawing near to the light of faith, that the Lord will bring them to true knowledge of Himself. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our families and friends, that the Lord will give them joy and satisfaction in all that they do. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who are lonely, sick, hungry, persecuted, or ignored, that the Lord will comfort and sustain them. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our country, that the Lord will help us to contribute to its true growth and well-being. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the whole human family, that we may live together in justice and peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Amen.
For yours is the majesty, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Linked by spirit, voice, and intention, we are wrapped in the love of God, all one in spirit, beyond the limits of time and space. Around the world at this very moment, countless prayers are being lifted, songs of praise are being offered, bread and wine is being blessed to nurture God's dear children. United in Christ, we lift our prayers and praise to God and give thanks that we too are spiritually fed in this time of worship. Lord Jesus, you call us to follow you. We love you above all things and we give thanks that you transform our hearts with your love. Embrace each of us now. Unite us to you in this time of worship and each moment of the day. We give thanks that we are all fashioned by your love, gifted by your grace, and upheld by your loving presence. May the blessings that we receive in this sacred connection move us to be blessings in the world.
May we be the hands of Christ assisting one another. May we be the voice of Christ speaking up against injustice and unloving actions. May we be the heart of Christ reaching out with compassion and healing. May we have the understanding of Christ and see all as our brother and sister and this planet as a sacred and holy world. And may the Holy Spirit guide us and empower us to this day to accomplish our purpose with love and abundant joy. Amen.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us this day and forevermore. Amen.
Go forth in the world rejoicing in the power of the Spirit.
Be to God.
Thank you for joining us this day for our time of worship. If you have a prayer request, please send it along to communitycatholicchurch@gmail.com. If you'd like to make a financial donation to help support our ministry, please visit the website at www.communitycatholicchurch.com. Join us next week at 10:30 a.m. for the next Sunday gathering. Blessings to you in the name of our God of love.